Because, well, here they come in now. I do want to quit about a quarter till. The children have to get things done and everything. So, but I've got a lot to cover, and I don't want to short that. So I'm going to go ahead. Everyone knows we're in the book of Revelation. So leave your Bibles closed for just a moment. And we're just going, we're in the 14th chapter. We've covered 13, right? So what I want you to do, we're going to start in chapter 1. And I just want you to give me one thing that summarizes that chapter. One thing. That's all. One thing that summarizes each chapter. Okay? And we'll do this real quick now if you know. Well, I don't have a chance. She's my assistant. And her first words were, "Oh, I can't." Now, if my assistant can't do it, how do I expect the class to do it? All right, so here we go. Chapter 1 is about Revelation. The glorified Christ. See how easy that is?
I could do that one.
Oh, I tell you, this is something else. Chapter 2 is the church age begins, and chapter 3 is the church age ends, and chapter 4, John is called up to see those things which must shortly come to pass, right? And chapter 5 is the God on the throne with the scroll in his hand, and John is weeping, and what happens? There's nobody to open it, so what happens? The Lamb responds, and John quits crying, and the Lamb takes the scroll. And chapter 6, what happens? No, that's on over. But you're doing good. Chapter 6, the seals are broken. Right? Okay. And then chapter 7. No, you keep saying that. If you say it enough, honey, you'll be right in a minute. Chapter 7 is the 144,000 are sealed. Remember, the four angels are told to come and stop the wind, and they're going to hurt the earth. But he says, before you do that, I got to seal my servants, 144,000 Jewish people that represent those that will be saved during this time. The Jewish people, keep that in mind. The Revelation is about Israel. It's about the remnant of Israel, God restoring his chosen people, Israel. And now, in chapter 8, it's about chapter 8, the very first verse tells you there was silence in heaven. I knew you'd get it. Silence in heaven for how long? 30 minutes. Imagine that. Because, you know, in chapter 4, what was going on in heaven? Oh, all this rejoicing. And it said there was multitudes and multitudes and an innumerable amount of angels and saints and servants and all this worship going on. All of a sudden, silence. Why? Because trumpets were starting to sound. Things are heating up. And then in chapter 9, what happened? Oh, you remember a star fell. And that star was given a key to the bottomless pit. And the pit was open. You know what bottomless pit is, don't you? That's where the demons are, folks, in case you're missing out. And the demons come up as locusts. And remember, they're told, don't kill anyone. Do what? Torment them. For how long? For how long? For how long?
5 years.
Months. You were close. You got 5 right. For 5 months. And then in chapter 10, what happened? Well, you remember there was this mighty angel. And he came down and he put one foot on the sea and one on the land. And what did he say? Time shall be no longer. Over. And then we get chapter 11. What happened in chapter 11? You remember in chapter 11 he sends his two witnesses. Now, how long do they preach?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. And then what happens? They're killed by whom? By the Antichrist, or the beast, as it is said, that comes out from where? The bottomless pit. And then what happens? Oh, the world has this party because God's witnesses are dead. But all of a sudden the party ends. Because he said, I send my spirit into them, and they raised after how long? 3.5 days. They raise and they're called up. And then in chapter 12, what happens? I knew y'all get this. I knew y'all were listening, see. I'm so proud of you. I really am. In chapter 12, you remember we've got the woman. Oh, I knew it would come to you. We've got the woman, which is representing Israel. And then we got the great red dragon that represents. And then we had Satan go after Christ. You remember? And I took you back into Matthew where Herod was used by Satan to try to kill the Son of God. Wasn't successful, but he's always trying. You know, I guess if you could give Satan credit, you can give him credit for trying, but that's all the credit. Because nothing he does works. Well, it doesn't, Jimmy. He's going to end up in hell. And all those who follow him. That's the sad thing. I wish the world would. You know, I've been said that I get too loud in here. I even told my little guest this morning. I said, now, if I get crazy, don't worry. She said, I like it crazy. My kind of person. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that just sticks out in my mind. And I say it all the time. And y'all have heard me say it. Cry aloud. And spare not. Folks, this is too serious to not cry out about it. Because Revelation is about the culmination of God's observation. It's showing the end. It's not saying this is what's going to happen. It's showing, John, this is the fulfillment of everything God said would happen, happens. What he says would happen to his saints, and what he says would happen to the sinners that reject him. Now, what chapter was I in? 12. So, and you remember, in 13, what happens? 13's an unlucky number, by the way. Y'all do know that. Well, it is. It's my birthday. October 13th. Oh, so it's not unlucky. Okay. Well, it don't work out too good for the world because that's when the Antichrist is shown coming up out of the sea. And that's okay. Honey. Listen, that's what a class does. We're trying to learn. So if you shout out something wrong, I'm going to help you. I don't condemn anybody. I like it when you're trying. So it says he came up out of the sea, and we said the sea was humanity. And that shows that the Antichrist. I know the world don't believe in the Antichrist, folks. I get it. That's why they put a statue of Satan up in Iowa, out there. This guy drove from Mississippi up there, turned down. I thought, and then turned himself into the police. I thought that's pretty good. But the world wants to make a joke out of it. All you got to do is look around and see what sin is doing to our children, to our mothers, to our fathers, to this world, to this country. Folks, Satan's done nothing good for anyone. So here comes the beast up out of humanity. But I know he's a man with demon possession because it says, and the dragon, and we all know who the dragon is, gives him his power. Well, isn't that what happened to Judas? I mean, listen, the Bible says, and when Satan had entered into him, that's how he could betray the Son of God. So I know that the Antichrist is going to be a man that looks like me. Well, I hope he doesn't. I mean, you know, I need a good-looking guy. You know, with charisma. you know, and a smile and silver tongue. That's what he's going to be. And then what happens? Well, we ain't got there yet, John, but that's good. You're moving right along in that chapter, but you ain't got there yet. Somebody comes up out of the earth. Now, the earth is symbolic in the Bible of Israel. Somebody comes up out of Israel called the false prophet. And what does he do? Oh, he too gets the power of the dragon and the power of the beast. And he sets up an image. And he makes the image talk. And we said that that was
AI.
Oh, see, aren't you proud of him?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, this class is just some of the smartest people I know. I don't get around much. but he makes it to talk. And then he makes them to take a mark. And without the mark, you can neither buy or sell or eat. Well, if you can't eat, you ain't got long. Last time I checked, you ain't got long at all. You know, people that go on these protest fasts don't work out for them. They either stop protesting or they stop breathing, one of the two. So if you don't worship the beast, which he says you must, and if you don't take the mark, and where's the mark? One of two places, forehead and hand. And I told you two or three weeks ago, it was on TV, folks. They've got a little chip now. And they plant it either in your hand or in your forehead, and you can go around and buy whatever you want. You don't need a card nor money. So don't tell me it ain't coming. It's here if you're looking. But if you ain't looking, it won't matter. You're going to get caught off guard. Now that's church 13. And at the end of 13, he says that we should understand the number of the beast. For it is 666. And what did I say about that? It will never, ever be seven. You can't make yourself what you have to be to stand before God. You have to be a seven. You have to be perfect. You say, Tom, there's no one perfect. You better be perfect. The flesh, it'll never be perfect, but it ain't going. I'm not worried about the flesh. That inner man in me is perfect. Absolutely sinless, flawless, blameless, spotless, perfect. Because Christ has made me that way. God the Father indwells me. God the Son indwells me. God the Holy Spirit indwells me. And bless God, that makes me perfect. I like it. And you know what else? I'm going to be in chapter 14. Does anybody remember what happened in 14? Don't you? If I catch somebody looking down the note, I'm going to throw a book at you. What happened in chapter 14? He says, oh, behold, I saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion. Mount Zion, by the way, is in New Jerusalem, in case anybody's wondering. And with him, the 144,000, for they are virgins. I said they're pure. Huh? What else did I say about them? Oh, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. I said they're faithful. What else? Oh, they're the first fruits. And what did I say about that? I said, well, remember back in chapter 7, He sealed them. Remember, he said, don't hurt the earth till I seal them. Well, they go out, and I said they turned 144,000 Apostle Pauls loose on this earth. Bless God, think about that. How many people is going to get saved? And you know what? That 144,000 is representative of those that believe what they preach, and they're saved, and they're standing with the Lamb. I believed it at a red light in Orlando, Florida, bless God, in February 1982. And guess where I'm going to be one of these days? I'm going to be standing with the Lamb because the Lord Jesus Christ has made me that way. He says, I am sealed. Same word, Jimmy. Sealed. Till the day of redemption. You know what that seal is, don't you? He stamps his name in your forehead. That's what the Bible says. They had his father's name in their foreheads. God's. Who shall lay anything to the elect of God, he says. When God's name's right there, folks, it's hands off. They're mine. I like it. I don't know about you. And Paul says that it's worth everything that he could go through. He says, for I have not seen. Whew, glory, I'm having a good time. I have not seen. Ear hath not heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man. What God hath in store for them that love. As God is my witness with all my heart this morning, I love him. And I don't say that, Lynn, because I'm better than anybody in here. Because he says, oh, you love me. Not because you love me first. Because I loved you first. I can love him because he loved me, for God so loved the world. Oh, I wish the world would believe that. I wish people in my family would believe that. I wish I'd see all these addicts. I wish they'd believe that. That he loved them so much he gave his son. That's what we're celebrating, folks. It's not about presents. It's his son. Those children this morning tell you, Jesus, bless me. I don't get tired of that. Maybe y'all do. Jesus. I know we're sitting at that red light. You don't. I do. And to know that he still loved me sitting there so much and he'd say, Tom, if you'll just cry out to him, he'll save you. And I had never been anything but saved since. Isn't that good? Then you say, Tom, what's this got to do with anything? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Now we've got caught up to where we're at. Hebrews chapter 4. Now I told you that understanding Revelation is very simple, didn't I? And why did I say it was simple? What makes it simple? You know, you hear people, oh, I just can't understand Revelation. There's just so many symbols and all these things. I just can't. Forget the symbols, folks. I gave you the thread. Remember, I gave you the three C's. And I'm in the third C, by the way, in case y'all already forgot. The three C's. First is the choice. The second is the control. And the third is the... That's all right. I knew you wouldn't remember that one. It's a little hard for me to remember. Let's see. Contrast. Contrast. What Revelation does, folks, is it points out which choice you've made. Not which one you're going to make. When Revelation comes, folks, the choice is made. You've made the Revelation is the end. You do know that. You know, the choice has to be made before Revelation. The choice has to be made before Christ returns. That's what I'm saying. The choice must be made. And then, depending on the choice you make, is what controls you. I mean, am I controlled by the Holy Spirit? You know, the Bible says this, the steps of a good man, which means a righteous man, which means a saved person, the steps of a good man are of the Lord. Here's what that means. I have not got one thing on my own since February of 1982. God has ordered my steps. You say, Tom, so you mean you never got out of, oh, listen, the flesh sometimes thinks, oh, I know how to go. No, you don't. God's ordering your steps. And you know what that means, Jimmy? What God orders is what's going to happen. And that's about the choice here in Revelation. It's showing the wrong choice. I'll read that to you. It's showing the right choice. I've read that to you. It's talking about control. If you make the right choice, who's controlling you? God is. Well, wouldn't you want God controlling your life? I mean, what can go wrong if God's in charge? You know, I see this bumper sticker sometimes. God is my co-pilot. I don't want God as a co-pilot. I'll tell you what, that plane crashed down here on 26 trying to land over near Asheville. I bet I was glad God was controlling that plane. They got out alive, but only by the hair of their chin, chin, chin. So God orders your steps. But what is the flip side of that? If you make the wrong choice, who's controlling your life? You know, people think that it's their own doing. No, it's not. The Bible says it's not. You remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees? You remember they came to Jesus and he was talking to them about being born again, and they said, oh, we're of our father Abraham. We're not bastards. What did Jesus say? Oh, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry. I forgot of your father Abraham. No, he didn't. He said, no, you're of your father, the devil. See, people don't want to understand that nor believe it, I don't think. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan, folks. And he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires or the lust of your father, you will do. You know, we wonder, and I've said it in here, I don't know how many times, we wonder how people can do some of these horrible things they do. I mean, who could walk into a school of children and start shooting them? Well, folks, if that ain't demon possession, I don't know what it is. I mean, you can't explain that any other way. I can tell you this. I've never had a desire since February. You say, Tom, quit telling us about it. No, I tell it about it. Since February 1982, I can tell you this. I've not had one desire to walk into a school and start shooting children. But I'll tell you one thing I've had desire for. Bless God, sitting right over here in that corner, listening to them little children sing. That desire God put in here. So that's the control part, see? Now the contrast is really easy. I've read that to you, and I'm going to read it to you some more, but right now I'm going to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick because I only got a few minutes left because Linda's done put the word on me. Hebrews chapter 4. Here we go. I'm just going to read real quick and then try to say a few things and then I'm done. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, that says a lot, doesn't it? First of all, it says there's a rest available. Second of all, it says you better be afraid you don't get in it. It's left to everyone. Everyone can enter into the rest of salvation, folks. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, all whom the Father hath given me will come to me, and I will no wise cast out. So salvation is a... Oh, be very afraid. Be exceedingly fearful. That's what the word means. Be exceedingly fearful that the rest that's offered you, you seem to come short of. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached. Well, if the gospel's not about salvation, what's it about? Well, I mean, what? It'd be foolish for me. It'd be foolish if he was here. He's downstairs. It'd be foolish for our associate pastor to get up here and preach anything other than salvation. We might as well stay home. So he says, "For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." How many people have heard about Jesus Christ and it's not benefited them one bit? Not one bit, because he wouldn't believe. That's what he says. He says, didn't profit them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You say faith? Well, in the next verse, you'll see what he means by faith there. For we which have believed. No, if I hear the gospel and I don't believe it, does it benefit me? Did Christ die for the world? Is he the atonement not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world? That's what the Bible says. But you have to apply it. You can't just say, "Well, he saved me. That's it." No. It doesn't work that way. You have to believe it. He says, except you repent. Repent means this. Repent means I've changed my mind about the way I'm going. I'm going to turn around and go the other way. He says, except you repent, which means believe the gospel, you shall all likewise perish. So that's what he's talking about, the rest, entering into the rest. For we which have believed do enter. They didn't enter because they believed. They entered because God said, if you believe, I'll put you in the rest. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve, folks, that's what it's saying, God had already made a way for salvation. But it won't profit one person that don't believe it. Well, that's the choice that he's talking about in Revelation. Who's going to choose it? Remember last week, who preached it last week in chapter 14? Who preached it? Oh, he says, and I saw another angel flying through the heavens, preaching the everlasting gospel. And what was he saying? He was saying, fear God. And we've told you that there's two ways of fear there. One means exceeding fearful. And I've told you that word phobos in the Greek. And it's the same thing that I would have if I stood on top of the Empire State Building. Do we still have an Empire State Building? Okay. so many has fallen, I don't know. But and look down. I can tell you right now, I'd be afraid. Exceedingly afraid because of what could happen if I fall, because I know if I fall what's going to happen. I'm going to make a mess down on that sidewalk. But the other fear is this, reverence. But you see, you can't do the latter till you do the former. You can't reverence God till you've understood who God is. He says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Isn't that what he said? Let us fear lest a rest being offered to us we should seem to come short of. Listen, won't it be terrible to stand before God lost and him say, but I offered you a way out. All you had to do was believe me. Now he comes on down to verse 9. He says this, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. If you'll believe it, that rest is there. For he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now why does he throw that in there? Here's what it says in my paraphrase version, Jimmy. You couldn't do anything to save yourself, and you can't do anything to keep yourself. Bless God, that otherwise it wouldn't be rest. I rest too much, I guess. I probably need to do more work. Somehow I just can't bring myself to it. Sometimes I don't even get out of my pajamas, Lynn. But I can tell you this. Since February 1982, I've rested. I've not for one second ever thought, oh boy, if I don't do something, I'm going to lose it. No. Otherwise, it wouldn't be rest. It'd be worry. I don't worry, folks. Not because of me. Oh, look, don't think I'm standing here saying I'm something special. God knows different. God's special. What God give me is special. What God give me is everlasting. He says, and they shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life. Well, folks, if God gives it to you, he ain't taking it away. It's yours. Therefore, you can rest. And he says this, for that is entered into his rest. He also ceased from his own works as did God from his. Let us also labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You better take it serious is what he's saying. You know, it ain't easy to get in. Paul said it's with a lot of trial and temptations to get into the kingdom. It's not easy. But if you count it enough value to yourself, he says you'll strive for it. Lest any man, after the same example of, if I could just say it like this, Jesus stood outside of Jerusalem, looking over Jerusalem with tears. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her brood and placed you under my wings. I don't know about you, but the saddest words I could hear is follows that. But you would not. Sometimes it's just more than I can bear to think of those people in hell right now. Remembering. Seeing the door was open. Hearing the voice from inside saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are. Well, what would you offer to somebody that's laboring and heavy laden? Rest. Don't you want to be free from all that, he said? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Take my yoke. Be joined to me, he says. For I am meek and lowly and at heart, and I will give you rest. Then he says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have such great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here's what that's saying. Bless God, I don't care what we go through down here. God knows what it's like. And that's why he says, I won't put on you more than you can bear. I know your breaking point. I won't let that happen. I don't know about you, but I get great comfort out of that. That doesn't, hey, now, and that in no way causes me to just want to go and live like hell. I can tell you that, knowing that, well, God will take care of me. No, no. Hey, if that's the way you think, you're thinking wrong. And then he says this, and I'm done. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, how did he start this chapter off? How did he start off in chapter 1? He said, let us therefore fear, lest there being a rest unto us should all come short of it. Well, unless you finish the chapter the way he finishes it, you will come short of it. He says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy. Look, if one thing a sinner needs, it's God's mercy. Because you see, only God can take a sinner and make him a saint. Only God can take a tare and make it wheat. Only God can take a lost and make it saved. Only God can take lost and make it found. Only God can take blind and make them see. Only God can take the unrestful and give them rest. So you have to come to the throne. Now the opposite of that is this. If you don't come to the throne, what don't you get? Rest. But here's the rest of that. You are going to come to the throne. Revelation chapter 21 says, and I saw a great white throne. Bless God, you're going to stand before the throne. Wouldn't it be better to stand here before the throne and let God judge you here and save you here than to stand before the throne there and let him judge you? And he says, and everyone's name who was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of... Now you tell me the right choice to make. See you.